You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Robert Lee and Jamie Spence.
Welcome to the Race to Dubai show from myself, Robert Lee, looking back on one of the most commanding Masters victories you're ever likely to see from Jordan Spieth.
This was arguably the greatest day of my life, to join Masters history and put my name on that trophy and to have this jacket forever is something that I can't fathom right now.
The 21-year-old led from gun to tape at Augusta, and however hard others tried, they just couldn't get close to him. One of those who finished tied second was Justin Rose.
Jordan didn't really open the door, and I didn't really expect him to. He's played with the lead now, it feels like, for the last month. But to come here and with not a lot of form to finish tied second is obviously a good result, and I feel like my season is now underway.
As we'll hear shortly, Spieth's main goal now is to become the number one golfer in the world. That honour is with Rory McIlroy at the moment, who has nothing but praise for the young American.
It's obviously very, very impressive. You know, I'm fortunate enough to feel something pretty similar with my win at Congressional, and he's way more mature than I was at 21, and hell of a golfer. And a great person as well, so you're really happy for him.
Plenty more reaction and analysis on the 79th Masters coming up, and we'll also be looking ahead to the next event on the Race to Dubai, the Shenzhen International in China. And a warm welcome to Jamie Spence. Hello, Jamie.
Hello, Robert.
Yes, how are you?
Pretty good, mate.
Good Masters.
Fantastic, wasn't it?
Commanding victory for a 21-year-old kid.
He's a very humble young man, isn't he?
Yeah.
Plays golf the right way. He's no spitting or throwing clubs, like we can mention a few other players. And
he plays quickly.
He plays quickly, gets on with it. What a great putter. I mean, he's just a sensational putter, isn't he?
Yeah, made a lot of birdies, I think.
28 birdies, yeah.
28 birdies.
28,
that's,
yeah.
That's a record for the Masters.
Absolutely.
But, you know, everyone talked about his putting. He was in position all the time, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think he had a little bit go his way at times. I'm thinking on Saturday when he pulled that shot on 9, it went down about 4 feet. That went in. 13 yesterday, I don't think he quite hit it there with his second shot. Got onto the green, made another birdie there. So things went his way, which you have to when you win tournaments.
And what about the chasing pack? How inspired were they or disillusioned were they by the lead that he had?
Well, Justin, what more could Justin have done early on? Yeah, he birdies the first couple of holes, but Spieth comes back with two birdies of his own on 1 and 3. And Justin's got to be thinking at that stage, well, this kid's not going away. I'm trying to put the heat on him and nothing's happening.
You know, the funny thing, before the last round, Justin's play over the 3 days, the first 4 holes he was 3 over and the last 14 he was 15 under. So he never really commanded those first few holes until the final round.
Yeah,
so
he did
a point well made.
Yeah, yeah. He did on Sunday. He came out of the blocks really quickly, didn't he, Justin? As did Mickelson to some respect as well. But Spieth, he just kept looking forward, played his own game. He could have birdied the second. He could have birdied the first 3 holes, Spieth.
Yeah.
You know, with that lead, his incredible performance.
And records tumbled. Best 36-hole total of 14 under par. Best 54-hole total of 16 under par. Most birdies for the week. I mean, it really was awesome.
Yeah, well, he tied the record with Tiger, who set it back in 97. They've lengthened the golf course since then, though. They've Tiger-proofed it, haven't they? I was a bit disappointed with the golf course drop. I thought those runoff areas, we normally see them run off into the water.
Couldn't agree more.
And the greens were not quite as quick as they normally are. I just thought the course needed to play a bit firmer.
You know, Phil Mickelson left of 11, that's in the water all day long.
Absolutely.
It stuck on the bank. Dustin Johnson missed the bunker on Saturday on 12 with a wedge, and it's starting
incredible
to come back.
Yeah.
It can't stop there.
And 15.
No one went in the water.
Saw two or three. Rory, I think, was
Rory, was Tiger.
Finished on that bank. I've never seen a ball stop on that bank. Ever.
Once you see the horizon shot from the back of the green with the camera and the ball's rolling towards the front of the green, it's gone. It's wet.
Well, sitting on our armchairs, we want to see a few balls roll back in the water and go to the drop zone, don't we? That's what we're looking for.
Of course, the players don't want that.
No, of course not.
The greens were softer than normal as well. I mean, I've never seen so many shots just come in buff and they sort of stay there.
Well, I know it rained quite a lot before the tournament, but they got that sub-air system on the greens. They could have firmed them up. I thought they would have firmed them up for the weekend and stopped the scoring, but it was there to be shot at, especially by the long hitters.
Well, we've of course been glued to the action from Augusta. So too has stateside commentator Matt Adams, who has his own show on SiriusXM and a friend of the Race to Dubai show. Matt, how are you?
Very well, thank you. Exciting week it was.
It was an exciting week. And how impressed were you both before the Masters and after the Masters with Jordan Spieth?
Very. The thing that stands out about Jordan Spieth, I think most particularly, is his poise. He has a maturity that I would put it somewhere in the vicinity of 40, 45 years old in terms of his ability to just stay in the moment. He told us before that final round that his game plan was to remain patient. And frankly, I'm curious what you guys think. I think that final round could have gone sideways on a number of occasions, but he held it together and he did what he had to do. And that's been the story of his young career so far, particularly in this season, in which he came in already a winner to Augusta. So, yeah, very, very impressed with who he is as a person.
The thing about Jordan is he came into this event having lost in the playoff and playing right at the top end of the tournaments he was in. He had played a lot right up to the cusp of the Masters, where others had rested and they had their Masters routine to go through. And there were people saying, well, you know, when he gets here, he's actually going to be exhausted. He won't have enough mental energy to get it done. Wrong.
Very true. The thing that I thought was interesting was how many players that would show up on the grounds of Augusta National and suddenly seem to be able to channel a form that they did not come in with. You know, if you look at, for example, Phil Mickelson, if you looked at his form coming in, you would not have expected what he produced at Augusta National. But I think it's a question of focus. Frankly, from that perspective, look at what Rory McIlroy did, Bob and Jamie. I mean, from the time that he has touched the shores of the United States, I haven't been terribly impressed with his play, notwithstanding what he did in the desert earlier in the season when he had a first and a second. But stateside, he seems to have sputtered. You wondered how much he was focused on the task at hand. But ultimately, when it was all said and done, he ended up finishing top four, and I thought that was a pretty good result given his form coming in as well.
Justin Rose, another one with no form coming into the week. But let's hear from the 2015
exactly.
Masters champion. Yes, absolutely, Matt. Jordan Spieth, who felt once he holed out on the 16th for par, the title was his for the taking.
I was in pretty good control on the front nine when I made a couple bogeys, but the key moment, I think, came down to 16. It was that late when Justin had that birdie putt and then I had that slider for par. That's when I really felt like it could get out of my hands, but stepped over that putt, just trying to put good speed, feed it out there and visualize a line. I would call that the biggest putt I've ever hit in my life. I was already hungry from last year, having had an opportunity and watched it slip away and watched Bubba win, and then also having a chance to win the last couple weeks and not quite pulling it off. So the combination of the two allowed me to keep my head down, not worry about anybody else in the field except myself, and to play a golf course that is my favorite course in the world. The ultimate goal is to try to become the number one player in the world. I don't expect to change the way I'm playing, just try and get enough rest and enjoy this season and this whole year now of being Masters champion.
Well, Matt, I'll go back to Saturday, late in the round. He doubled 17. That up and down on 18 for me was the key one, because I was asked before the weekend, if he shot level par, would he win the Masters? That's 14 under par. I said, yes, I think he will. As it happens, he'd have been in a play. Very impressive, that Saturday performance, wasn't it?
Yeah, that putt that he made on 18, he actually called the most important putt of his life. So I agree with you, Jamie, completely, that his ability to get up and down on 18, because it was looking squirrely when he blocked that shot to the right there. It was almost reminiscent of Greg Norman in 96. But he was able to get up and down, and that seemed to have solidified his form, his confidence, if you will, heading into the final round. I'm amazed at his ability to hang in there. Even that putt that he made at 16 that he was just referencing in that audio piece, Justin Rose said later on that he too thought that that was an opportunity for him, that if he could split the hole in half with his and Jordan were to miss, that there'd be opportunities awaiting them in those final closing holes. But alas, Jordan did to Justin Rose exactly what Jordan Spieth had been doing to everybody else all week, and he made that putt after what he called the tiger chip that he had faced, which was incredibly difficult. That was one heck of a par, and I agree with you, the par at 18 the day before was, I think, the foundation of that final round.
Jordan has said openly that the world number one spot is the one he's after. Is he a genuine match for McIlroy?
At this point, I think it's a great rivalry, a 25-year-old and a 21-year-old. But when Rory is fully on song, I would still give the edge to the current world number one.
Yeah, off the tee, Rory's got the edge, but on the greens, who's better than Jordan Spieth? 28 birdies last week. He's just a fantastic putter, isn't he?
Yes, he is. Again, I've always felt that putting is a window into the soul, and his ability to convert the putts that he needs to make at the time that he needs to make them is absolutely remarkable. Because, Jamie, the one thing you hear on the U.S. Tour consistently, they'll ask this player, they asked Ernie Els this past week, they asked Tiger this week, they asked Rory this week, and on. They say, what is it about Jordan's game that stands out? This was before he closed out. And they'll say, well, you know, there really isn't anything in particular that he's exceptional at, but he's just good at everything. I think after this Masters, everyone's taking a closer look at his proficiency upon the putting surface, however.
Yeah, I think they're the dangerous guys, the ones where you can't identify one thing and it's all pretty good. Jack Nicklaus, I'll give you a case in point. But a final score of 14 under par would usually be good enough to win a Masters comfortably, but it just wasn't good enough this year for either Justin Rose or Phil Mickelson, who finished tied second. We'll hear from the American in a minute, but first, here's Justin.
somebody needed to get really hot today to chase him, and maybe I had that chance early in my round. I just let the momentum go a little bit around the turn. But, you know, continued to play patient golf and was happy the way I stuck with it on the back nine. You know, 14 under par around this golf course is definitely a good effort, and something that if I can continue to play like that, I'm going to create chances in this tournament for years to come. But obviously you've got three more majors left this year, which I'm looking forward to.
Well, tied second is Rose's best ever finish at Augusta National. For other stats on European golfers, just follow at European Tour on Twitter. But, gents, what did you make of Rose's performance overall?
I'm very impressed, Rob. He's not played well this year, Justin. I mean, I thought tee to green last week in the Masters, he was sensational. The putter could have been a bit better for him. We can always say that about Justin. I think if you're going to be critical on Sunday, the five he made on eight wasn't good enough, and neither was the five on nine. That really, I think, that dented his chances. That was the end of it for him, as far as I was concerned.
Well, the player who tied with Justin was Phil Mickelson. He shot 69 on Sunday, but the two-time winner of the Masters admits he was outplayed by an exceptional golfer.
I played a solid round, but I needed to play an exceptional round, and I ended up having three bogeys that kind of stalled my round as I was starting to make a birdie here or there, and I needed to shoot something in the mid to low 60s to have a chance, and just didn't do it. I just didn't play the exceptional round that I needed, and Jordan didn't help any of us trying to catch him. He played an extremely solid round, but the fact is I would have taken 14 under at the start of the week. I would have been happy with that. I played really well to shoot 14 under, and I just simply got outplayed by a young player who just played some incredible golf.
Matt, Jack Nicklaus won his 18th major at the age of 46 at Augusta. Mickelson's in the same ballpark now, mid-40s. If he was to win a Masters, would we look upon that as a breakout victory like we did Jack's, or is it more likely?
I think it's more likely in Phil Mickelson, because Mickelson's an active player and Jack Nicklaus was essentially semi-retired when he won the Masters in 1986 at the age of 46. The thing that I see in Phil Mickelson is a question of his focus, but Mickelson still strikes the ball so purely. You just heard Jamie talking about the ball striking of Justin Rose this past week, which was exceptional. It was some of the finest ball striking from him that I've seen in quite some time, but Phil Mickelson seemed to channel that ability as well, oftentimes because Phil's short game, his work around the greens, is so magical, we forget his capacity to strike the golf ball, and it was really impressive this past week. So again, I guess the thing with Phil Mickelson, it's kind of like a Bubba in this regard, is which Phil is going to show up week in, week out. Will this be the inspiration for Phil to carry on and realize, yeah, I still can do this?
Now, rounds of 68 and 66 over the weekend meant that Rory McIlroy's performance was six shots better than Jordan Spieth's over the third and final rounds, but the Texans' record-breaking performances on Thursday and Friday meant that the world number one still finished six shots behind him in fourth place, but McIlroy feels his game is in good shape.
You know, really happy with how I played over the weekend, and having to fight back and just make the cut was, wasn't the position I wanted to be in after 27 holes, but proud of how I played afterwards, and I can take a lot of positives from this, not just coming into this event next year, but, you know, for the rest of the year. You know, I know my game's in great shape, and, you know, hopefully I can challenge for many more tournaments until the end of the season.
Jamie, what do you make of the McIlroy performance?
Very impressive. I think, would you already have taken 12 under par at the start of the week?
All day long.
Yeah, I think so.
All day long.
Yeah, and we're all talking about this Grand Slam that he's after, obviously. He's got plenty of years to get. I'm sure he's going to get his hands on a green jacket sooner or later. But, good performance from Rory.
You like what you saw, Matt?
Yeah, it was interesting that you guys brought up, would Rory have taken that? He was asked specifically, if someone had come up to him and said, hey, I'll give you 1,200 at the end of the week, will you take it? He said he would have taken it and run. So it is a reflection of the same. My only question with Rory McIlroy, again, is I see some lapses in focus from Rory that we didn't see earlier this year. Maybe it's just the nature of a long season and you have to peak at the right time. You certainly did over the weekend. I hope that this major is a restart button, if you will, for Rory McIlroy, and he's ready to carry on through the rest of the season with the form that he showed us over the weekend.
Jamie and I were discussing it before you came on the show with us. Did you think that Augusta had the runoffs back into the water at 11, at 12, at 15? They made it so the ball wouldn't automatically roll in. Do you think that was by design or that was weather determined?
I think it had to be both, because you could cut down the length of the grass to any length that you want, regardless of the humidity and the density of the grass. It wasn't density that held those balls up. It may have been to some extent, in fairness, but it was the length of the grass. So there clearly was a decision made at some level that they would alter the setup ever so slightly, and it had an impact. We saw Rory's ball hang up on the bank one day when I was assured that it would tumble down on 15 into the water hazard and did not. So I don't know what the philosophy was that went into that, but the golf course was definitely set up a little different. I do think that Mother Nature had more to say about the humidity level that caused the greens and the general area to be softer, not to mention the rain that was considerable over the past week. But yeah, there was subtle differences there that had their impact.
Yeah, they certainly did in the scoring, that's for sure. Now, Hideki Matsuyama, who also carded a 66 in the final round, finished fifth. So well done to him. And alongside Dustin Johnson and Paul Casey for a share of sixth was Ian Poulter, who found the green 59 times in regulation at Augusta, easily more than anybody else, but it's with the putter that the Englishman felt he let himself down.
I knew it was about putting it in position, taking my chances from the good shots that I'm going to hit, but I didn't do that and I didn't execute when I missed the greens. I worked really hard on my short game for a couple of weeks and it let me down. I think they actually cut the grass a little differently this year around the greens. We've seen a lot of the time through the past few years, the ball runs off the green and runs a long way away. So this year they actually cut it into you. It was a little more awkward. The ball sat down slightly and it made it a bit tricky.
Jamie, is there anybody in the world that's feeling sorry for Ian Poulter because he had an average putting week?
No, he's been a great putter all his career. How many putts have we seen him hold? But yeah, 59 greens in regulation for Poults is fantastic. Shows his long game's there, and unusually for him, he didn't quite get that. I think he'd have preferred the greens a bit quicker, actually, Poults.
Augusta wasn't quite as cruel as it normally was.
When you see some of the par threes where the ball runs right down the slope and off the front of the greens, we didn't see any of that either.
You like a bit of cruelty, Matt?
No, actually, I like the setup of the golf course. I like to let the players go out there and play. I'm not as crazy about the setup that it has to be so exacting that instead of talking about yards, you're talking about inches. In this case, we saw players go out. I really think that what was identified at the end of the day was the player that was simply playing the best and not a player that benefited from the best twist of fate.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. Well, tied in 17th spot alongside Sergio Garcia was the man who's still the youngest player ever to win the Masters, Tiger Woods. He had a week of mixed fortunes, which we will discuss in a minute. But first, let's hear him paying homage to Jordan Spieth.
Well, I think it's fantastic. I mean, he's doing all the things he needs to do. I think Australia probably served him a lot last year to win down there by a big margin, but doing on the last round by shooting, I think, 63 or 64, whatever he did. Then he came to the World Challenge and really played well there again. He's one of those guys that, you know, like Rory, can go off and make bunches of birdies in a row. Makes a collection of birdies. You know, on a nine-hole stretch, you may make six or seven.
Well, Woods identifying, you know, the one of the strengths of Jordan's game, and that is making a lot of birdies, as we know from his birdie count this week.
Yeah, well, Woods made a few of his own, didn't he? Some of the amazing shots he hit over the weekend. 4 under par going out on Saturday for Tiger. You thought, hang about, maybe. And that birdie made on 13 was just ridiculous, wasn't it, on Saturday? But he's back. He's played pretty well. I think off the tee, struggling. You can't play with that big cut round there for a right-hander. I don't care who you are, especially with the way they've lengthened this golf course.
Well, after the snap hook on 13, yeah, he's trying to hit it left and Cutter,
exactly.
You got no price.
No chance. But his short game is good. I've talked about his chipping numerous occasions over the last couple of months, and I thought he's in real trouble with it, but none of it. His short game was really good this week.
Tiger on the way back, Matt, for you?
Yes, I think so. I was quite impressed, as Jamie was just noting as well, with what Tiger Woods was doing. It wasn't a stroll in the sun for Tiger. He went out there and he performed. The number one thing that impressed me, however, was, you know, just 6-8 weeks back, there were those that were declaring Tiger's career dead and gone. He was in the coffin because he definitively had the chipping yips and more. And he came back and he showed us that it wasn't so much a case of drama, it was a case of preparation. And this time he was ready to go. So I was impressed.
What did you make of his interview with Bill McAtee at the end when he said, when he hit that root at the ninth, I think it was, he said a bone popped out and then I just pushed it back in?
Yeah, I thought that was an odd way to describe something. But again, we don't know what he actually went through and what it felt like to him. If that's what it felt like, I don't honestly know. All I do know is that with Tiger, it seems as though when it comes to injuries, he gets unlucky. This is just one more thing that happened. My hope is right now that he hasn't awoken on this morning and that it's swollen up and that it requires additional care. I hope it was just kind of something that stung him at the moment and he can move on from it. Although, we don't really know when he's going to be back. He said in, quote unquote, a while. I'm hoping that it will be the players and that he'll now be able to resume a regular schedule. And so my hope is, in regards to hitting that route, that it wasn't severe.
Yeah, let's hope that was the case and then he's back playing in full fitness very, very soon. Other notable things during the week, Ben Crenshaw played his final Masters and that was very emotional when he finished on Friday. He got a great reception on that last green, and Crenshaw very much of the Masters fabric down there with a couple of wins there. And he will, of course, be back to play in the par 3 competition and be back as a former champion. Other names to miss the cut: Stephen Gallagher, Luke Donald, Brant Snedeker, Padraig Harrington, Martin Kaymer, Henrik Stenson, Steve Stricker and Korea's Sangmoon Bae were the only three players from the 99-man field not to card a 3-putt all week. That's unbelievable how you can play all week there and not 3-putt, Jamie.
Yeah, around those greens, that's pretty impressive. And Henrik was suffering from the flu pre the event, so he did really well just to make the cut, to be fair.
Matt, that's it from us about the Masters. Thank you very much for contributing once again in the way that you do, and we'll talk to you very soon.
Always a pleasure. Thank you, Rob. Thank you, Jamie.
Great talking to Matt, though. He's always got his finger on the pulse in America. Give us the top 10 at the Masters.
Well, the three players tied for ninth place, Rob: Charlie Hoffman, Zach Johnson and Hunter Mahan. Tied six, another three players, Dustin Johnson. Up and down a bit, wasn't he, Dustin Johnson? Ian Poulter and Paul Casey, the resurgent Paul Casey. In fifth, the very impressive Hideki Matsuyama. Fourth was Rory. Tied second, Phil Mickelson and Justin Rose. And, of course, up the top of the leaderboard, Jordan Spieth.
Yes, and tips-wise, Gordon Brown Jr. went for Henrik Stenson to be the best European at Augusta, tied 19th. Jimmy Walker was his tip to finish as top American, 38th. Bob went for Jordan Spieth to win, which he did, and he thought Henrik Stenson would finish top European, 19th. Rory was my tip to win, 4th. Dustin Johnson, who I thought would finish as top American, finished tied 6th. So well done to Bob. As for the Fantasy Race to Dubai game, which you can play on the European Tour website, Justin Sevier earned the most points last week with his team, ironically named We Are Top of the League Again. Justin was the only player to earn more than 3 million points with the team that included Justin Rose as the star player, alongside Rory McIlroy, Ian Poulter, Sergio Garcia, Henrik Stenson and Louis Oosthuizen. Dix, 180, continues to lead the overall Fantasy Race to Dubai with 9.85 million points, but his lead at the top is shrinking, with 83 players now with 9 million points or more. To pick your fantasy team, just go to europeantour.com/myeuropeantour. Now, Jamie, the Race to Dubai standings, please.
Yes, Robert. In 10th place, we have Henrik Stenson. 9th, Gary Stahl. Number 8 is Louis Oosthuizen. And another South African at 7 is Brandon Grace. The very impressive Bernd Wiesberger sits at 6. Lahiri from India sits at number 5. And Ross Fisher is 4th, going to the top 3 with Justin Rose. Danny Willett's in 2nd place. And top of the crop, Rory McIlroy.
Rory McIlroy, top of the pile in April. And the world rankings, there have been some changes there as well, particularly with Jordan Spieth.
Yeah, Jordan Spieth has a big jump. Back down in 10 is Jim Furyk. Been pretty quiet this year, Jim. Number 9, Sergio Garcia. Justin Rose is at 8. Adam Scott, disappointing last week for Adam. He's at 7th. Dustin Johnson, 6th. Jason Day, 5th. Bubba, who's playing in China this week, at 4. Henrik Stenson, 3. Spieth moves up to number 2. And, of course, top of the pops, Rory McIlroy.
And back here in Europe on the Challenge Tour, 20-year-old Hayden Porteous won his first pro title at the Barclays Kenya Open in Nairobi. After carding a 69 in regulation play, it beat friend and fellow South African Brandon Stone to the title by eagling the first sudden-death playoff hole. Now, the next two events on the Race to Dubai calendar are taking place in China. Up next is the inaugural Shenzhen International, taking place at the Genzong Golf Club in the Longgang district of Shenzhen, which is just north of Hong Kong, just over the border. 100 European Tour players are expected to compete with 50 players from the Chinese Golf Association, as well as 6 invitationals. One of those is the 2-time Masters champion, Bubba Watson. Other players in the field, Jamie, give us a clue.
Richie Ramsey, who won recently in Morocco, Alexander Levy, Ross Fisher, Pablo Larrazabal, Andy Sullivan, a multiple winner this year, Andy. Romain Wattel, when's he going to win, Romain Wattel?
Soon,
waiting.
I think.
Yeah, we think so.
Yeah.
Rafa Cabrera-Bello, he showed a little bit more form in Morocco, but he's had a poor season so far, Rafa.
And the course has got 6 generation platinum grass on its greens. Not a grass I've heard of, but apparently special attention has been given to ensure that the greens have an even surface. So maybe they're going to be super slick greens.
I have that platinum grass in my back garden.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, it's very good, yeah.
So, yeah, very good field. I suppose, Jamie, a lot of players will go for 2 weeks here.
Well, yeah, it's a 2-week trip. You've got Vivo China Open the following week.
Makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, they've not played much golf in the last few weeks, the European players, so they're pleased to get out there.
So, Jamie, who's your fancy Race to Dubai tip?
Well, the one that stands out is Bubba Watson, but we're not sure what we're going to get from Bubba week to week, really. I mean, the fact that he's flying out from Augusta, time zones and all the rest of it. I'm going to put him to one side. Pablo Larrazabal, followed in Morocco, very, very impressive. Plays a lot of golf, but he's very consistent, and he's the one that I'm selecting.
I was at Sky Towers for the week of the Masters doing the Masters breakfast, and David Howell alongside Nick Doherty were my studio guests, and David Howell was swatting quite nicely in the shot centre and has flown out to China today, so I'm going to back David Howell.
The last couple of years David Howell's got his game back and one of the best putters on the European Tour.
Yeah, he's certainly very impressive with the short stick, that's for sure. Before we go, I see you've been named as the leader of the GB golf team in the Olympics.
Yeah, it's an honour and a privilege, Rob, to be out there as a golf team leader. There's 28 sports in the Olympics, they all have a team leader, and somehow they come up with my name for the golf one. So,
have you taken, you know, some leafs out of the Arsene Wenger book of man management, you know, for your role here?
Well, no, the teams are going to be picked off the world rankings, and both the ladies and the men. So I'm running the ladies team as well, which is very exciting, with Charlie Hull and Katrina Matthews. Great opportunity for the ladies. There's only 60 players in the field, and only if you're in the top 15 of those rankings will you qualify. So that's going to rule a lot of Americans and a lot of Korean players on the ladies' side. So big opportunity for them. And with Justin Rose playing so well as well, and I know Justin is very, very keen. He's already spoken to me about it, about getting out to Rio. He's desperate to get there.
And how will you make sure that there's a good team spirit?
Well, we'll see on the week. I think what we'll try and do is get a few other old Olympians in and take them out for dinner and just try and impress upon them what it's really going to mean. I think it's a huge opportunity for golf. I think golf needs another major that travels around the world, goes to different countries.
Oh, no, I'm not for
another. I know you're not, but I am. I am, Rob.
Well, you change all the record books.
Well, who decided it was going to be four majors?
But it is.
Who decided that?
Well, that's what it is.
They
it's
weren't
a,
literally.
It's evolved into that
well, we've
for
changed,
years.
We've changed it from the two British amateur and US amateur.
You stick to the Olympics.
I'm just saying, it has evolved over the years.
Not having it.
Why should it not continue to evolve,
having
Robert?
It, we've got four and that's all there should be, thank you. But you keep your Olympics, that's good. I mean, the gold medal will be there and will be won by somebody from the GB team, which you would have been a massive cog in that wheel. That's it for now. Huge congratulations to Jordan Spieth for an imperious victory at Augusta. Next week, we will review the Shenzhen International and preview the Volvo China Open. Until then, you can stay up to date with all the latest news from the European Tour via Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. But for now, from Jamie Spence, who's leading the GB to the gold medals...
Goodbye.
Goodbye from myself as well.